Good morning. I'm Richard C. Hautalett with the CBS World News Roundup. The NATO Council was summoned to Brussels today to hear the news from Washington on the neutron bomb. And Tom Fenton reports very mixed feelings among the other 14 allies.
The calling of a NATO meeting was a formality since President Carter's decision to postpone development of the neutron weapon was already leaked yesterday in Washington. Moreover, a meeting of the various ambassadors to NATO is not the kind of prior consultations most of America's NATO allies would have wished. Although the West Germans and the British were informed last month, they were notified after the decision had been made. It came as a shock to them, since both Chancellor Schmidt and Prime Minister Callahan, in spite of public opposition at home, were apparently ready to accept what they thought was Mr. Carter's wish to proceed with development of the new weapon. There may be serious political repercussions now for Schmidt, whose government will be vulnerable to attacks from the conservative opposition for appeasing the Russians. There may be approval of Mr. Carter's decision, however, from some of the smaller NATO governments, like the Dutch government, which had already publicly indicated its opposition to the neutron warhead. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Brussels.
The neutron bomb, still under development, is a tactical nuclear weapon with special properties. It would kill by enhanced, powerful radiation more than by the blast and heat developed by standard nuclear warheads. The West Germans, who would have most of these weapons stationed on their territory, favor production. They see it as a pinpoint weapon that could be used against massed invading Soviet tank forces without incinerating the German cities in their way. Many in Washington see it in the same light, and so does former President Gerald Ford, speaking last night at a Republican fundraising dinner in Los Angeles.
The neutron bomb is developed for the purpose of a defensive weapon to meet the challenge of overwhelming numbers and military hardware on the side of the Soviet Union. It's a weapon developed for peace and the preservation of peace. And if the current administration, under President Carter, postpones or cancels that weapon system, I think it's a very serious mistake.
Moscow wants the neutron bomb stopped, as it wants to stop development of the U.S. cruise missile in the framework of a new SALT agreement limiting strategic arms. Soviet President Leonid Brezhnev, touring military installations in Siberia, made a sharp speech on SALT and the neutron bomb. Bernard Redmont reports from Moscow.
Brezhnev denounced U.S. consideration of the development of a neutron bomb, saying it increases the risk of a nuclear war. Brezhnev made the charge in a speech to sailors of the Soviet Pacific Fleet aboard a cruiser near Vladivostok. The Soviet leader said the Kremlin rejects any attempts to impose unacceptable terms of agreement, but he reaffirmed that Moscow wanted an early accord to limit strategic nuclear weapons. Brezhnev hit out at the Carter administration, accusing it of indecision and inconsistency. He repeated a frequent Soviet charge that the U.S. is seeking unilateral advantages. Brezhnev is on the last lap of a tour of Siberia and the Soviet Far East. Bernard Redmont, CBS News, Moscow.
Italian democracy continues in an agony of frustration as the left-wing extremists of the Red Brigades demonstrate again that they can apparently do what they please, when and where they please. Bert Quint has today's story.
While 50,000 police and soldiers vainly continued their search for Aldo Moro, the ultra-leftist terrorists who kidnapped the former prime minister demonstrated once again today that they remain capable of finding and hitting new targets. In Genoa, one of the cities where lawmen are concentrating their manhunt, the Red Brigades wounded the head of the Genoa Industrialists Association. Felice Schiavetti was shot in the legs and right hand as he left for work. Apparently, the intention was to wound rather than kill, and Schiavetti's condition is not considered serious. This was the second shooting of this type since Moro was kidnapped 3 weeks ago. In an effort to get a message to her husband, Moro's wife, Eleonora, sent a letter for publication to a Milan newspaper for which Moro often had written articles. In it, she said she hoped that somehow he would see this letter and know that his family's morale is good and is with him in spirit during the long days of this ordeal. In spite of everything, Mrs. Moro wrote, we have faith in mankind and believe that it will be possible, after all this pain, to embrace him again. Bert Quint, CBS News, Rome.
Israel responded quickly yesterday to American persuasion and a personal appeal from UN Secretary General Kurt Waldheim to Prime Minister Begin for early action on the total withdrawal of Israeli troops from southern Lebanon, as called for 3 weeks ago by the UN Security Council. Israel has now informed the UN that it will soon withdraw from some forward positions and turn them over to the UN peacekeeping force. Bruno Wassertheil reports.
The Israeli withdrawal from southern Lebanon, scheduled to begin next Tuesday, will be a partial pullback. Under an agreement reached between the commander of United Nations forces in the Middle East and the Israeli chief of staff, Israeli units will evacuate about 150 square miles of Lebanese territory in the eastern and central regions bordering on the Litani River. This will still leave Israel in control of close to 700 square miles of Lebanese territory. Prime Minister Begin has pledged that Israeli soldiers will leave Lebanon altogether when quiet in the south can be assured and arrangements made to guarantee that Palestinian guerrillas will not return to the border region. Israel is counting on both the UN peacekeeping forces and a reconstituted Lebanese army to do the job. But since the number of UN soldiers in southern Lebanon is still less than half what it should be, and the process of rebuilding the Lebanese army is going very slowly, Israeli troops are likely to remain on Lebanese soil until late spring. Bruno Wassertheil for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
In Beirut, the PLO calls the Israeli pullback a bluff, quote, stalling tactics trying to deflate world pressure, unquote. Reports from Lebanon say that Palestinian mortars shelled UN troops in the eastern sector and that UN troops, probably Norwegians, responded with light and medium machine gun fire. Panama has written to member nations of the UN complaining about an amendment attached to the ratification of the first treaty, giving the U.S. the right unilaterally to intervene if internal unrest in Panama blocks canal operations. The complaint figures in the treaty debate, Neil Strauser reports.
Treaty managers were plainly dismayed by the timing of the Panamanian complaint, coming as it does before the vote on the second treaty. But Democrat Frank Church of Idaho tried to explain it was never the intent of the Senate in adopting the condition by Arizona Democrat Dennis DeConcini to interfere in Panamanian sovereignty. DeConcini himself, however, said his condition does give broad powers of intervention in the event of any hindrance of canal operations.
My intent was not to invade in internal affairs of Panama if they didn't affect the closing of the canal.
But in the event of a general strike, you might be intervening in Panama City as well as in what was the canal zone?
That's right. That could very well happen.
DeConcini said he has asked the Panamanians for an explanation of their complaint. He said if there is an effort to reject the terms of his condition to the neutrality treaty, then it would be impossible for him to vote for the second treaty. And that treaty, which makes the arrangements for turning over the canal, is to be voted on a week from Tuesday. Neil Strauser, CBS News, the U.S. Senate.
The Labor Department reports the unemployment rate went up slightly last month from 6.1 to 6.2%, the first increase in 7 months. The rise affected mainly black women and black teenagers, but in general, more people were looking for jobs than could find them. It's spring across the country, everything is starting to come up, and so in this election year are the activities and hopes of the Republican Party. Chris Kelly reports from Chicago.
The Republicans kicked off their off-year election campaign with a televised extravaganza shown at fundraising dinners in 14 cities. The main performances were staged here in Chicago, where Ronald Reagan spoke, and in Los Angeles, where Gerald Ford included himself among the potential presidential contenders for 1980.
The quality and experience of our possible Republican candidates for the presidency, Howard Baker, George Bush, John Conley, Bob Dole, Ron Reagan, maybe Jerry Ford, surpasses unquestionably the leadership we currently have in the White House today.
Reagan didn't mention his political future. Instead, he criticized the Carter administration's domestic and foreign policies.
Is there anyone in this administration that knows the meaning of the word priority? Priority means the quality of being prior or first. And somehow rolling down to Rio or dropping in on an African state, even one that the Cubans don't run, falls short of a priority rating in view of our current domestic problems at home.
The GOP hopes to collect about $3 million. Half that goes to fund state legislative campaigns, the rest for congressional candidates the party hopes will be able to cut into the Democratic majority. Chris Kelly, CBS News, Chicago.